There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com. Book News, your latest literary roundup.
Okay, these are more reminders than news. The Montegrappa Writing Prize has closed. That's what I want to let you know. However, have no fear. Your writing efforts are not wasted because the Costa Debate is still open for entries. Just to remind you that the Costa Debate is a chance to win a year's supply of free coffee and 10,000 dirhams towards travelling the world. Yes, Natalie.
That was a genuine excited gasp from me.
A year's supply of free coffee. It's funny, whenever I mention this, the 10,000 dirhams towards travelling the world gets up.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
And then the free coffee for a year. Yeah. Yes, please. If so, remember that the Costa Debate is open for entry, so you have to answer a difficult question persuasively in no more than 300 words and submit it to the entry form on the EmiratesLitFest.com website. There's more information on there as well, but basically what you have to answer is which is best, fact or fiction, and you have to make a very persuasive argument in 300 words or less, and it doesn't have to be in English, it can be in Arabic, so whatever language is strongest for you, you can answer in English or in Arabic. EmiratesLitFest.com if you want more information about that. And now moving on to something a little bit sadder.
Literary moment, milestones in literary history.
I don't know if you've heard about this, Natalie. In the news at the moment is the fact that Pulitzer Prize-winning American poet Mary Oliver passed away.
Yeah, I did hear about that.
This was a few days ago. She died aged 83. I think she had lymphoma cancer. And whenever something like this happens, and we mention it on Literary Moment, I always like to use it as an example of, you know, it's a chance to visit or revisit their work if you haven't read it before. If you want to do that, Mary Oliver has more than 15 collections of poetry and essays to explore. Her writing was often about the natural world in some way, shape or form. And I found her view on poetry very interesting. Often when you look up poets, they all have their own particular view on what poetry should or shouldn't be. And she said in an interview on US radio, "One thing I do know is that poetry, to be understood, must be clear. It mustn't be fancy."
Oh, I love that. That's really inspirational for people who are wanting to get into poetry, because it can be intimidating as a genre. So it's nice to hear someone who has excelled to say, it's fine, just make it real. Don't try and overdo it. That's really great.
When we introduced you on the show, said your name, but you're actually a teacher, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah, I teach drama at Dubai College. So you'll probably hear me waffling on about how inspirational and educational things are. But that's the way my mind works. And things like that, I want to print that and put that in my classroom.
So to give you an example of Mary Oliver, rather than just talking about her, here she is reading her poem, Night and the River.
"I have seen the great feet leaping into the river, and I have seen moonlight milky along the long muzzle. And I have seen the body of something scaled and wonderful slumped in the sudden fire of its mouth. And I could not tell which fit me more comfortably, the power or the powerlessness. Neither would have me entirely. I was divided, consumed by sympathy, pity, admiration. After a while it was done. The fish had vanished, the bear lumped away to the green shore and into the trees. And then there was only this story. It followed me home and entered my house, a difficult guest with a single tune, which it hums all day and through the night, slowly or briskly, it doesn't matter. It sounds like a river leaping and falling. It sounds like a body falling apart."
Mary Oliver, the American poet who won the Pulitzer Prize and died recently, aged 83. So if you'd like to revisit her work or visit it, it's 15 collections of poetry and essays that you have to explore. And that was Night and the River. But there's a quote of hers that you must have seen shared quite a bit in the wake of this news. It's the last couplet from her 1992 poem, The Summer Day. And I think that's what we're going to end this little segment on. "Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life?" And it's something that she was really popular for when she was alive as well. That couplet was going round and round and round. It's the kind of thing that you would always see on social media. And yeah, obviously now that she's died, everyone's sharing this again. Such a wonderful sentiment. So what will you do with your one wild and precious life or day today on a Saturday? I hope that you will spend it well. 4001, remember, is the text line. Festival moment.
Festival moment.
Okay, so today is all about who the lovely Natalie is excited about seeing at the festival in March on Festival Moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's hard to pick because there are literally 100 different things I could be excited about. But one of them, as we said, I'm a teacher, and from a teacher point of view, I'm really excited about Nicola Morgan. And she's going to be talking about a teenage guide to kind of online safety, but also just the impact of spending a lot of time online and what it can do to us. And I think things like that's really important, especially as so many of my friends, I don't know if you've found the same, Annabelle, have made New Year's resolutions of be less online, you know, don't look at social media all the time. So it's something that we are clearly thinking about and we want to control a bit more. So I think Nicola is going to shed some real light on kind of how we can better manage that, particularly for young people who can, I think, get sucked into the vortex of social media.
I think you're right. The more people I speak to, the less it is about juice cleansing, more about social media cleansing.
Absolutely.
And she's really interesting because she's obviously looking at what happens to us all when we spend time on the internet, whatever age we are. But she's done an awful lot of research specifically into the teenage brain and writing for teenagers. And things like fake news, online privacy, the risk of sharing too much information, those are things that we're all concerned about and always talking about. But you'll know, being a teacher, that those are things that are of huge concern
young minds. And it's such a big buzzword at the moment, well-being. We're all talking about well-being and things like that, and rightly so. And what's really interesting about what Nicola has researched and what she's doing is that she really looks into the impact on the teenage brain and how you could read something and just physiologically, not just psychologically, but physiologically, it will change and trigger something in your brain. And then you're supposed to go and continue your next lesson or your next interaction or whatever. But your brain has now changed and adapted to something you've just read. And I think things like that are, it's kind of terrifying and so interesting in the same way. So I think it's a really worthwhile talk to go to.
Yeah. excuse me. Sorry. She'll be speaking on Saturday, the 9th of March at 12 p.m. at the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature. She's one of about 170 authors. So many authors are talking about so many things. So do check out the programme online, emiratesliterature.com. You can buy tickets there. You can find out more information about everything that we're talking about and all of the authors who are attending. Now, I like the fact that she breaks down what you should be wary of, but she also likes highlighting to people that it's not all doom and gloom, which I really love as well. So there are plenty of advantages to online life. I was listening to an interview that she gave where she said that you often come across the idea that our attention spans are shortening. And she says that anybody who's watched a young person play a video game for an extended period of time knows that maybe that's not necessarily true. And it's more about looking at what's competing for our attention rather than our actual attention.
It's the amount of things going into us at that. We have this kind of, it's an immediate gratification. We want something, we can look it up. We want to buy something, boom, it's ordered. It's, we don't have to, everything can be immediate. And I think teenagers, young people still have a capacity for a really long attention span. I mean, I've seen them in 2.5-3 hour examinations and they excel, you know, they still have that capacity, but it's just that it's becoming more and more accessible to just get immediate gratification, and that's going to have an impact, no doubt.
Here she is actually speaking about something that I found a little bit scary.
There are all sorts of pieces of research that show that if we're trying to focus on a piece of work, whether it's on a screen or on print, if there is a phone, our phone, or anyone else's phone actually, next to us, or if the person sitting next to us has their laptop open, we're trying to read on paper and print, but there's a phone there and or there's a laptop open there, that our concentration is impaired, even though it's not our laptop and even if it's not our phone. Very often it is our phone. Very often we, and young people would be the same, we're working on something and our phone is there and it's occupying part of our concentration, part of our brain bandwidth.
That was Nicola Morgan there talking about competing for our attention in the digital age and online life. So she'll be speaking at the Literature Festival on Saturday, the 9th of March.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.